It happens to all of us. Pressures build during the day when things don't go well, and suddenly a burst of anger comes forth. The Bible tells us that the devil loves to instigate anger because anger is destructive. We're told to not give the devil an opportunity, and the Holy Spirit can help us handle those times when anger seems the only alternative. Today, more about becoming sensitive to the Holy Spirit. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we continue our series on what happens when the Spirit has His way. Turn with us to Ephesians chapter 4 as Dr. Lutzer brings more of a message on the gift of sensitivity.
Don't respond in a way that you're going to regret when angry. Do not sin. Don't go to bed angry. I always say that, you know, Rebecca and I had that as our motive, and we have never gone to bed angry, though I do recall one summer when we were up for 2 weeks, okay? For those of you who are literalists, that is a joke. Just want you to know. The Bible says, don't become angry and give the devil a topos, an opportunity. Let me say a word to those of you who are abusers. You were abused, now you're abusing. And you keep promising yourself you aren't going to do it again. You need help. You need the help of the Holy Spirit, but you also need deep repentance and accountability. If anybody is listening to this and you are abusing a child, stop it. Stop it right now. And get help. Because you're not only lying to God, you're destroying a child. So what he says, yes, you can go ahead and clap. What he says is, when angry, do not sin. Do not give the devil a topos, an opportunity. The imagery there is to give the devil a place. You open the door, you've maybe had this experience, somebody's out there that you don't want to let in, but they get their foot in the door. And now, what are you going to do? The devil loves to instigate, to aggravate, to cause anger. Why? Because it's so destructive. You do things that you, when you are angry, that you later regret, that you cannot undo. And somebody says, well, you know, I just blow up and get it over with. Oh, yeah, yeah, and all the pieces lie there. And you can ask forgiveness, and forgiveness may be granted, but you do that a number of times, and it all becomes very hollow. And the anger is destructive and goes from one generation to another, a whole generation of angry children because of some angry parents. Deal with that anger. Recognize it to be sinful. And the Holy Spirit will help you. The church will help you. Accountability will help you. But when angry, do not sin, because the devil wants to use your anger to kill, to destroy, and to wreck homes and marriages and families and children. It's terrible. Spirit will help us. A third, it says, don't steal, don't be a taker, but be a giver. You'll notice it says, let the thief no longer steal, I'm in verse 28, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. People steal today. They steal from their employer by the time they waste, or the supplies that they take. They steal from the government. They steal by having illicit and wrong lawsuits. People steal. It's amazing what even good people will do when big money is flashed in their face. And so what he's saying is, he's saying, do not steal. Don't steal, but rather, he says, work with your hands. Some time ago, I heard a report that it is true that the thieves, if they work with their hands, it becomes helpful. Of course, in those days, that was the only kind of work they could probably do. And it says, work in such a way that you can give. Replace your stinginess and your thievery with being generous. By the way, you want to spend $1,000 at a casino. Don't do that, because you're going to lose it anyway. And if you do win it, you're winning somebody else's money that you don't own or deserve. So what you do is you give it to Christian ministry, and then you know at least you're going to get an awesome return. It's going to meet you again in heaven. And what you do is you become generous. Why? Because that is really the opposite of stealing. Maybe I'm speaking to somebody today and you say, well, you know, I don't steal. You don't steal, but if you aren't giving, there's a sense in which you're still a thief, because you're not acknowledging God to be the owner of all that you have. And so giving becomes very, very important, not stealing. Let me tell you that when the Holy Spirit has his way in a church or in a community, there are all kinds of issues that people have to deal with. For example, I'm thinking of somebody who, during a time of revival, had a 99-cent bag of potatoes go past the checkout counter without the checkout lady seeing it. Well, you know, it's 99 cents. The store's big. It's not that big a deal, stealing 99. And I didn't intend to steal it. It's just that she didn't see it at the bottom of my shopping cart. But now when the Holy Spirit of God begins to work, the Spirit of God, who makes us sensitive, begins to speak to people, and they say, you know, I have to make that right. So this lady did, and because there was a revival going on in the community, the store manager said, either something is going on in this town or else this is my lucky day, because you're the second person that has come to confess stealing from the store. She told him, something is going on. He was visibly shaken. Why? Those who do not know God, when they see righteousness like this, they're terrified. Years ago, I told you the story about the man bent over in his office, weeping. His pastor came over to him, thought for sure a child had died, wondering what in the world. Couldn't even talk to the guy who was sobbing so much. He said that the Holy Spirit showed him his heart. And he said it was like looking into hell, and he had been dishonest in terms of his reporting cards, you know, the business accounts. All businessmen steal, don't they? Don't they fill their cars with the gasoline on the company credit card? Isn't that just kind of accepted if you can get away with it? It's no big deal. But when the Spirit has his way, it becomes a mighty big deal. You see, you and I, we become so insensitive to the Spirit that we wound the Spirit, we displease the Spirit, we grieve the Spirit, and we do not even know it, having justified what we have done. So that's the third change. Let's go on to another. Let no corrupt talk, but encouraging words come out of your mouth. No corrupt talk. Bible says regarding the tongues of the wicked, it says in the book of Romans, their throat is an open sepulcher. What it means is stench. Have you ever met with somebody and all that can come out of his mouth is that which is, evil and foul tongue we talk about. And Jesus said, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so you have obscenities and you've got all that. But I want to talk to you about slander, criticizing other people. You see, the reason that we all do this is because if we can chop other people down, if we can take them off the pedestal, maybe we ourselves look just a little better. When I was in Bible college, I was at the table, and I guess I was waxing eloquent regarding somebody, criticizing them. I certainly forget the details. But I remember a student walked with me out of the dining room later and said, you ought to go to your room and memorize Psalm 141, verse 3. Okay. Psalm 141, verse 3. Nothing came up on the computer as to what that might be, so I looked at the text. And what does it say? Set a guard, O Lord, before my mouth, and guard the door of my lips. How I wish that I had done that ever since then. We are all guilty of wanting to exalt ourselves by the criticism of others, saying, I'd never do that. Look at what they have done. Paul says, let no corrupt talk come out of your mouth, but only encouraging words, words that build up. Years ago, I read about a man who was going to divorce his wife. He went to his favorite attorney and said, I can't take it anymore. She does this, 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 this. I'm going to divorce her. And the attorney said, you really hate her, don't you? He said, I hate her. He said, you want to hurt her? He said, I want to really hurt her. I want to sock it to her. The attorney says, well, if you want to really do that, he says, let me give you a suggestion. He said, you can always divorce her. If you divorced her now, she'd kind of be expecting it. Here's what you do. Postpone your divorce for a month or two, and during that period of time, don't utter one single criticism. Just build her up. Tell her how beautiful she looks. Tell her how wonderful a cook she is. Commend everything she does. Remember, do not criticize her. You've got plenty of time. And then you see, as you build her up, she begins to think, oh, this relationship is going very, very well. And then you can give her the divorce papers and sock it to her, and it'll hurt her more. And I thought, well, you know, that's a possibility. He said, I'll try it. I can always divorce her. So for a month or two, he commended everything. Rather than coming in while she was making dinner and telling her that that thing in the pan looked like an unidentified frying object, he now said, I just love the way you make dinner. I love the way you dress. Thank you so much for doing this. Thank you for doing that. Well, you know what the story is? That a month later, rather than get divorced, they decided it was time for a second honeymoon. Imagine the power of encouraging words that build up rather than tear down. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth.
Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and remember, my friend, this is a series of messages on the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit has His way. And this particular message is entitled The Gift of Sensitivity. And I told that illustration, and I'm talking about bitterness in this message, because it is the responsibility of the Holy Spirit of God to create within us the kind of sensitivity to sin that makes us willing to confess it, to forsake it, to lay aside all anger and evil speaking, so that we become different people. That's what the Holy Spirit of God does within us, along with a number of other things. And that's why at the end of this broadcast, you'll be given information as to how these messages can be yours so that you can listen to them again, be blessed by them, share them with your friends, and let them know that the Holy Spirit of God is within us, not just to be resident, but to be president, and what that means in our personal experience. Once again, I want to thank the many of you who pray for us. We deeply appreciate it. Thanks for your financial support and for your encouragement. And I hope to see you right here next time on Running to Win as we continue this series on the Holy Spirit.
Erwin Lutzer with more of The Gift of Sensitivity, the eighth message in a series on when the Spirit has His way. When the Spirit does have His way, a Christian's conscience gets ever more tuned in to right and wrong. Tomorrow, how our increasing desire to please God means saying no to many things that didn't bother us before. This 10-part series will be sent on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.